Hey, everybody, in Ask Me Anything episode, we start with a reflection on COVID, 4 years since the lockdowns, 15 days to slow the spread. And then we go straight into the White Roll Rage segment. And we also remember a Turning Point leader who passed away. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Subscribe to our podcast and become a member. So if you become a member this Tuesday, you can join our members only chat, right, Daisy? It's a members only Zoom call. You can ask me questions. So if you become a member before Tuesday, members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Okay, everybody, lots to cover on this Ask Me Anything discussion, AMA. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's get to this one. Charlie, did you see the recent COVID story from the Wall Street Journal? What do I make of that? It is hard to even go back and remember the weight or the severity of the hysteria that COVID brought us. A lot of people played into it. I am very proud to say, and I'm proud to say this, at Turning Point USA, we rejected what could have been millions of dollars in PPP money. Remember the PPP money? Seemed as if it was this free money from the federal government. I remember when we made the decision. Everything was locked down. The federal government passed these multi-trillion dollar spending bills. And I prayed about it. And the Holy Spirit just told me and told our team, it just didn't feel right. We're a group that says big government sucks and we're going to go take money from Big Daddy government. Other conservative groups, by the way, took the money. A lot of other conservative groups took the money. And we just said it didn't feel right. So we said no. We could have received, I think it was $1.6, $1.8 million. And we have 300, 400 people on staff. And so it was paycheck protection money. And we decided against it. And as a result, a lot of our donors stepped up. We raised a ton of money from people that we're really inspired that we said no to the federal government money and that we took a stand on principle. I was also very proud of how we handled the lockdowns. We never did masks, never did any of that stuff. We did events as soon as May or June. We were one of the first major events that Donald Trump came to, actually, Turning Point Action. Is that Dream City Church? We did our whole tour. We fought the lockdowns all across the country. We didn't put up with it at all. And there's a lot of whitewashing of history when it comes to COVID. We need to remember the truth tellers, and we should also remember the people that were conservative, that were far from truth tellers. There were plenty of people that were conservatives that were playing into this nonsense. I remember one thing I said in particular, and I was attacked, I was shadow banned, I was smeared, I was slandered, I was suffocated on social media. When I said, well, COVID is performing basically like the flu. Whew. I was obliterated for saying that. Wall Street Journal, quote, it's official. We can pretty much treat COVID like it's the flu now. Here's a guide. So to be clear, after destroying lives, the well-being of our children, the progression of next generation speech development created the most suicidal generation, the most alcohol-addicted generation, the most drug-addicted generation in history. They're now giving us permission to treat COVID like it always was, a flu-like virus. Remember how flu just disappeared for quite a while during COVID? We were never allowed to talk about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, how being fat and obese makes it harder for you to have a positive outcome when it comes to COVID. Vitamin D levels in particular, that a high vitamin D level, over 50, very well could have interrupted what is called the cytokine storm. We weren't allowed to talk about any of that. Talk about how a baby aspirin actually helps if you get COVID. How azithromycin very well might have helped you if you got COVID. We weren't allowed to talk about any of that. In fact, they were always talking about get the shot, get the shot, get the mRNA gene-altering shot. It's your only choice. And now only 10 to 15% of people are getting their boosters and taking the jab. They're still saying to take your booster every single year. And 10 to 15% of people still are. We could have turned this into a national conversation on health and wellness, on getting in shape, losing weight, eating properly, getting proper sunlight, exercising 30 to 45 minutes a day. But that would have been politically incorrect. It would have been politically incorrect to say that we're a fat country. It would have been politically incorrect to say that, hey, you got to get moving. Change your eating habits. Stop eating ultra-processed foods. Try to eat whole foods. Don't just try to eat another bag of potato chips or pretzels. You don't have to have dessert every single night. Try to go a day without chocolate. Can you go to noon without eating food? Yet over 60 universities still, to this day, require college kids to have a COVID vaccine. They close churches and gyms, but you could buy booze and pot. Imagine if we had a national initiative during the lockdowns for everyone to lose 15 pounds or during COVID. The Telegraph reports, obesity now a greater risk to global health than hunger. Now, I don't make a lot of friends when I say this, but it's true. Some people struggle with their weight. And I totally sympathize with them. I've been overweight, and I handled that. I don't believe that people struggle with obesity. Those are two different things. You can struggle with being 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds overweight. But if you're 100 or 200 pounds overweight, it is more of a choice than it is genetics. And you can make a choice to eat healthier food. We would be a much happier, better country if we were serious about our BMI, our body composition. And none of us are above it. It's easy to gain weight in this country. It's easy to be overweight. Some people do struggle with it. I get it. But it is a choice at the same time. It is a choice. I get being 20 pounds overweight. I get you might be 40 pounds overweight. That's something that just happens. You have a couple kids, eat a lot of carbohydrates. You don't get a lot of good sleep. Not fun. But I was just recently at a doctor's office, of all places. And there were people that were at minimum 150 pounds overweight. Working at a doctor's office, administering blood pressure. Like they're checking somebody's blood pressure. And instead, COVID just became this whole thing. Oh, just take the shot. We're going to take care of you. Stay at home. Stay afraid. Telegraph, quote, obesity, now greater risk to global health than hunger, study finds. And going back to the COVID question, will we ever receive apologies for what they did? The lockdowns will go down as one of the greatest mistakes in human history. Several studies now show that masks didn't help and made things worse. Basically, if you did the opposite of what the CDC and Fauci said, you'd be better off. And that's what I did. I did not trust them all along. I just said, I know what it means to live a healthy life. Go outside. By the way, it was one of the great moments of my life in the sense that, I mean, I hated the lockdowns, but selfishly, I enjoyed like 15 or 20 days at home. I think a lot of people felt the same. And then it got really old and then I started traveling. But go for a bike ride, go for a walk. Will anybody apologize for what they did? Will Fauci apologize? Of course not. And by the way, that's a really good point, Andrew makes that. We used a crisis. We used what other people were saying was a crisis, and we used as a choice to improve. I won't say that we didn't let a crisis go to waste, but there is some truth to say that instead of just kind of acting, oh my goodness, the world's falling apart, there's nothing we can do. Do you know that before the lockdowns, and I'll tell this story actually in a second, we were doing one podcast a week. One podcast a week. It's a true story. We were doing a single podcast a week of 1 hour. One podcast, one episode for the entire week. And Andrew and I, we talked, and I'll tell you the story. It's pretty remarkable. And then just 4 or 5 months later, we were doing 3 a day. Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold, and we can't quite shake it. But you're not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely on yourself. Not sure where to start? Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for $60 off. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes with My Patriot Supply. When you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship that same day. Save $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. You got to check it out right now, MyPatriotSupply.com. All right, Andrew corrected me. I think we were doing maybe 2 or 3 podcasts a week, but still, I mean, it was a priority-ish. It wasn't the most. It wasn't my day was not scheduled around it. Why? I was too busy raising money, traveling the country, speaking. You can never pin me down. It was a logistical nightmare. Podcast was ranked in the mid-30s or 40s on Apple News, maybe even 50s. And all of a sudden, the lockdowns happened. And the first couple of days, we were just kind of getting our bearings. And remember, I was going on a hike. Tom's Thumb. You guys ever been Tom's Thumb? It's a good hike. And all of a sudden, I said, well, I'm doing podcasting. What if we just kind of did radio? And I called Andrew up. This is a true story. And I said, I know this is a crazy idea, but hear me out. I said, we're doing 2 or 3 podcasts a week, and we're scaling up because we started to do every day a podcast because of COVID, because we had nothing better to do. I said, well, since we're doing a podcast every day, why don't we just turn it into a radio program, and then we can stream it? And Salem was just amazing. Praise God for Salem, and they made space where there wasn't space. So literally on May 1st of 2019, we were doing one podcast a week. In January of 2020, we were doing maybe 2 or 3 a week, and it was all over the place. In April of 2020, we were doing 5 a week. And if you had to say, Charlie, what was the turning point for your social media, for your podcast? It wasn't COVID as much as it was George Floyd and Floydapalooza. Ryan, are you able to find that video? Do you know which video I'm talking about, Andrew? It was the video heard around the world. When everyone else was doing black squares, we were not just early. We were forcefully early. I remember I uploaded this video to Instagram myself. I was up till 2:30 in the morning responding to direct messages. We were insanely viral because everyone was falling in line of the George Floyd thing. Not backing down on George Floyd and then becoming very prominent in November as people felt the election was being stolen on them. We just kind of, the show just exploded. And now, praise God, I don't think it's too much to say we're a top 5 podcast program in the conservative movement now. I think that's fair to say. The numbers certainly reflect that. Top 5, top 6, certainly top 10. The Floyd thing was a big deal. And I remember when we did that, we were really outspoken. I got so many messages from people. They're like, did you just do that? Did you really just kind of go up to the black square? I'm like, yeah, BLM is from, they represents DEI and CRT. No one knew what that meant, by the way, at the time. CRT and DEI and woke were not household names. We were ahead of all of it, largely because of our campus work. But the lesson was really this. The lesson was we took what many people viewed as a negative, the lockdowns, and it was an objectively societal negative, and we turned it into a positive. We said, okay, I can't travel. Travel's my life. I can't really raise money. And then I asked myself, well, maybe I can raise money. I'll just raise money on the phone and do Zoom calls. And Zoom became this big thing. And out of a tragedy, our three-hour radio program was born. I can honestly say to you today that if it was not for the lockdowns, I do not know if we would have the radio program or the program where it is today. Now, that is a seat of equivalent benefit. By the way, I would prefer to still have a country rather than our show. The lockdowns were so harmful to the country. So many people unnecessarily suffered. The civilization has not been itself since then. It just hasn't recovered. But out of this, that very dark chapter, we applied action and we used our agency. And I think that is a great lesson for myself to repeat, to internalize for myself, and for all of us. Maybe right now you're going through what could be called its own lockdown. Maybe you're in a situation that seems overwhelmingly negative and it was done to you and something that you otherwise did. I don't know. I used to travel 330 days a year. 330 days a year. I have 1,000,000 miles in every single airline. I've been to all 50 states twice over, except I've been to Hawaii and Alaska only once, but every other state, I've been there at least 4 times. So I've been to the contiguous 48 states, each of those 4 times. 4 times over, minimum, all 48, and then Hawaii and Alaska. Been to over 20 countries. I've traveled the world. To all of a sudden say you have to be locked down and change your pattern, it was hard, but it turned out to be a blessing. And it's a beautiful story, and that's one of the reasons why the show is where it is now. And it's become a major institution, you could say, on the right. Praise God. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that over 5 billion pounds of meat are imported and sold in the U.S. every year? That's why you need Good Ranchers. They are the number one source of 100% American meat and the one that I trust to feed my own family instead of getting overpriced imported meat at the store. Good Ranchers delivers the meat my family and I eat every day straight to our door. And not only is their meat all locally sourced, but it's also all hormone-free, vaccine-free, and has zero antibiotics ever. You need to switch from the grocery store to Good Ranchers right now. Subscribe to any of their 100% American meat boxes to secure their leap year offer of free bacon for 4 years. That's over 70 pounds of Applewood smoked bacon that you'll get by subscribing. Wake up and smell the savings at GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. Stock your fridge with easy-to-prepare delicious American meat right now at GoodRanchers.com. Not sure which box to choose? Try their best-selling Good Ranchers box, the Ranchers Classic. Get quality local food you can trust and feel proud to feed your family. Go to GoodRanchers.com. Use promo code Charlie to claim over $900 in free bacon. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. Okay, so we're now going back in the Wayback Machine. We've only gone through one question so far, but it's really interesting. This was right as Floydapalooza was beginning. And it's so easy to look back and say, oh, BLM is a scam. No, no, no. You have to remember how unanimous the culture was, saying that this is the most important thing ever, raising hundreds of billions of dollars. You had Mike Braun, senator from Indiana, supporting it. You had Nikki Haley supporting it. This is just to kind of go back in a time. This one video changed the trajectory of the Charlie Kirk Show and our social media footprint. Our social media was, I think, 1/6, 1/7 the size of where it is now. We could actually look where our Instagram was at the time. Play cut 174.
So I've been watching our country burn the last couple days. And now I'm flipping through social media and I am seeing people that I grew up with in suburban Chicago post the Black Lives Matter blackout social media posts. And then I go and I see their other commentary and they say, war on police, the police are racist. Completely false, by the way. No data, no statistics. And you, like me, where I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, have been protected by police our entire life. If you heard a creak in the attic, you would call the police in an instant to try to help you. And people say, well, the police are killing unarmed black men at record rates. This is a lie, even according to the Washington Post. with a very questionable definition of unarmed black men. 8 unarmed black men died by police officers last year. 8. Do you know how many police officers were killed in the line of duty last year? Well over 50.
It might be worth playing the second one just for memory's sake.
Don't you know there's a systemic racism in our country? Stop it. Stop this lie that we're nothing more than the group identity that the media tells us that we are. You're an individual. You can wake up earlier. You can make better choices. You can succeed. Don't subscribe to this leftist nonsense that is captivating and hypnotizing our country. People say, well, the rioters and the looters and the protesters, they have a good cause. There's never a good cause to burn down our country. There's never a good cause to destroy black businesses. And guess what? All you virtue signaling suburban followers and sycophants that I grew up with, I know you and I see you. And you're virtue signaling to the world about how good of a person that you are. Oh, I'm a good person. Look at me. I'm such a good person because I'm posting Black Lives Matter despite none of the data statistics backing up anything that you're saying.
And then it went mildly viral after that. Let's get to some more questions, everybody. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, what is going on in Canada? It is really hard to even believe that Canada was once a semblance of a free country. Canada is really, really scary. It really is. Let's play cut 45, please.
But I will say that in all of our democracies, in every democracy around the world, we are seeing a rising movements of either authoritarian populism or skepticism about democracy itself. And we all need to recommit ourselves to standing up, not just for Ukraine, but through standing up for Ukraine, to the very principles that make our countries strong and free.
What do they mean by democracy? Every time they say democracy, replace it with the word oligarchy. That make our oligarchy strong. And there is a threat against our oligarchy. It's Curtis Yarvin who came up with that. I want to make sure I give him attribution. We are becoming more and more like Canada every single day. Canada is a story of what happens when you allow yourself to become too moderate, too accepting, too indifferent. Oh, you know, we just must be, it can't get that bad here. I'll tell you, Canada is an unrecognizable country. It is not a reach to say that Canada is more like the Soviet Union than it is like a Western country. Quote, Trudeau Liberal Justice Minister Arif Virari says that putting Canadians under house arrest on suspicion that they may commit a hate crime in the future will, quote, help de-radicalize people who are learning things online. They can put you on house arrest, potentially, if you might be suspected of committing a hate crime. Dr. Peterson, Jordan Peterson, who probably is the most famous Canadian living right now, I think that's fair to say, pre-crime re-education in Canada. Even CP Ontario didn't go this far, but they will now. Wake up, Canada. You've no idea how much trouble you are in. Jordan Peterson, to his credit, he's been warning about Canada for quite some time. Jordan put up a fight very early regarding forced pronouns as a college professor. Jordan Peterson, famously, 7 or 8 years ago, went into the campus quad and started debating students about how he's not going to be forced to use students' pronouns. He still might use them, but the idea of forcing students' pronouns, Dr. Jordan Peterson found objectionable. And he said, this country is going to become communist and totalitarian. And I remember comedians and journalists laughing at Jordan Peterson. Oh, Jordan Peterson, are you really here to say that the country is going to be flipped upside down because of forced pronouns. They're also considering a new section of the Canadian Human Rights Act. It says you're liable for anything you've ever posted online for retroactive crime. They are considering a bill in Canada that would allow for life sentences for hate speech online. Life sentences. We would sanction countries for this type of behavior. In fact, President Trump should joke around if he becomes president that he's going to suspend trade with Canada if this continues. It says, quote, any member of the public, including non-citizens, can lodge a complaint against you to the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal, an activist quasi-judicial tribunal run by non-judges appointed by Trudeau. They can get up to $20,000 per complaint from you. There doesn't have to be a victim at all. Remember, it's a future crime. They only have to show that your tweet or video is, quote, likely to cause one person to have hard feelings about another person. $20,000 that you'd pay for the complainant plus $50,000 to the government. This is per Ezra Levant, who we've had on the show. And it could be done retroactively. Canada is not getting better. I mean, it is so hard to even comprehend. This is becoming East Germany. Canada is basically an even worse version as a satellite of the Chinese Communist Party. I want to get to another question here. By the way, Big Fanny has just entered the court. We're keeping an eye on that. If it breaks while we're on air, we will share that news. Some other breaking news. Charlie, what happened out of Florida? Ron DeSantis, I know, has been doing a lot on the university there. What happened there? Yes, so it was not that well covered, but the former senator from Nebraska, Ben Sasse, resigned his Senate seat. I always liked Ben Sasse, even though he became bitterly anti-Trump throughout his tenure, but very smart guy. He stepped down as U.S. Senator from Nebraska. Governor Ricketts filled that position, and now he is Senator Ricketts. Ben Sasse has been doing a good job, and now, breaking, the University of Florida has officially fired all of the DEI staff. Conservatives are finally fighting back. Every red state must follow suit as soon as humanly possible. This is the way. Quote, to comply with the Florida Board of Governors Regulation 9.016 on prohibited expenditures, the University of Florida has closed the Office of Chief Diversity Officer, eliminated DEI positions and administrative appointments, and halted DEI-focused contracts with outside vendors. Under the direction of UF Human Resources, university employees whose positions were eliminated receive UF standard 12 weeks of pay. They're fired. They're gone. And by the way, this is the best part. There will now be a reallocation of $5 million in funds previously reported at Tallahassee for DEI expenses, including salaries and expenditures, into a faculty recruitment fund to be administered by the Office of the Provost. These things are money sucks. These things are bad for campus culture. These things foment and are racist and bigoted at the core. Save $5 million. $5 million a year? Good for Ben Sasse. Ben Sasse is delivering. By the way, Ben Sasse was a former college president before he became a senator from Nebraska. Florida is really becoming one of the only sanctuary states for the Constitution. One of the only safe places. The world is in flames and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out. Promo code Charlie. Okay, some very sad news. Someone who was involved with Turning Point USA, someone who was also involved in Alex Clark's deal, Madison Becknell, one of our amazing students, passed away. Very sad. Senior at University of Kentucky, died in a head-on collision. Collided with a tractor trailer on LaGrange Road in Shelby County. Madison Becknell, a graduate of Oldham County High School and senior at the University of Kentucky, was pronounced dead at the scene. So it's just awful. Our sympathies and prayers just to every day is a blessing. It is just terrible. Absolutely awful. Okay, let's get to some more questions here. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Here's one. Charlie, I heard about the white rural rage. It's hard to believe that they are that explicit about who they consider to be the enemy in this country. Please dive deeper into this. Yeah, I want to play the piece of tape here. I didn't get a chance to emphasize the kulaks. So let's play 120, and then I want to tell you about the kulaks. 120, please.
White rural rage, the threat to American democracy. And Tom, we'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point?
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or their bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So this clip has gone viral. They wrote this book, White Rural Rage. Look, on this program, we've told you about the kulaks before. In Soviet Russia, kulak was a label the Soviets gave to their designated class enemies. If you were a small business owner or a successful peasant, or really any kind of ordinary person who criticized or opposed the Soviet regime, they would then label you as a kulak. And that was enough to justify taking your stuff, sending you to Siberia, death camps, or shooting you and your entire family. In America, the regime is creating a new kulak. The new kulak are ordinary middle Americans. Rural white people are the acceptable target of American life. They're the ones it's okay to blame for literally everything bad in America. What causes systemic racism? Rural whites. Why is Joe Biden's approval rating terrible? Rural whites. They're only 20% of the American population. Why is New York and San Francisco falling apart? Somehow, rural whites, even though they'd never visited there. The left cannot comprehend that their policies fail because they're bad. They cannot comprehend that they lose elections because people can't stand them. Instead, just like the Soviets 100 years ago, they assume that they are wreckers. Their policies fail because they are evil people lurking in America who just sabotage them for no reason. This is why the left literally needs endless, constantly increasing migration from the third world. Because among people born in America, the share who are alienated by how much the left obviously hates them is constantly growing. The Great Replacement Strategy, which is well underway every single day on our southern border, is a strategy to replace white rural America with something different. Show 159, please. 80% of the map is red, but that is only 20% of the American population. They hate that they don't live in big cities. They hate those of you that live in rural and small America. They hate those of you that own land and have guns and believe in a better country. And they have a plan to try and get rid of you. The same way that Joseph Stalin went after the kulaks, they want to go after you. Those of you that live in Mankato, Minnesota. You live in Marshallton, Iowa. Evansville, Indiana. Peoria, Illinois. You're the problem. Didn't you know it? You believe in God, country, family, faith, and freedom. And they won't stop until you and your children's children are eliminated. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.